Hi there, Behind the Table fans and Bry Guys. It's Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. Since The View is taking a break this week, we've got something special lined up for all of you. All this week, we're bringing you episodes of a new podcast from our colleagues over at Good Morning America called Pop Culture Moms. It's a show where two best friends talk about the roller coaster ride that is parenthood and the inspiration they've drawn from iconic moms we've adored on screen. Today, we bring you their episode featuring TV personality Melissa Rivers, daughter of the late, great Joan Rivers. If you like it, I hope you'll click the link in our episode description for more Pop Culture Moms or search for the show and follow wherever you're listening. Enjoy!
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Oh, hi, honey.
Oh, hi. I'm so glad I have you because I have a little bit of a problem.
Tell me.
So lately at daycare drop-off, Violet has been doing this bit. She hides behind my back, and then the teacher and I are forced into a little back and forth. The teacher says, oh, did you forget Violet? And I say, oh, I knew I forgot something. And Violet is just laughing and laughing. I mean, she thinks it's the funniest thing she's ever experienced, but 10 months in,
yeah.
It's not funny.
Yeah, it gets old.
And every single day, I have to like muster up the strength to go in there and do this improv routine with a pre-K teacher. And it's really tough for me, as you can imagine, because I do want to make sure that she grows up knowing what's funny, but I don't want to crush her spirit. And this is not funny.
Not funny anymore. Well, this is relevant because today we're talking about funny moms.
Oh, well, isn't that perfect? You know, the funniest mom I've ever met is you.
Honey, thank you. You know, the feeling is very mutual to me. I think you're the funniest. And we love to have our fun.
Oh, we love to have our fun. Yeah, my entire family, both husband and kids, can tell that I'm on the phone with you by the laughter and the tone of my voice and just like our general running bits have.
Look, I think it's safe to say we both come from very funny families. My dad was very funny. My brother's funny. So is my mom. Your family's hilarious. My mom is good about putting up with my bits. She's comes from this enormous Irish Catholic family, and I think there's some sort of a Venn diagram where Irish Catholic and Bostonian overlap, and they create this dry, sarcastic humor that's also morbid because everyone is dying all the time. And I think that that informs so much of who I am. I think sense of humor is probably one of the most important things in my life. I mean, when I met my husband, who you know very well, I thought he was the funniest person in the world. Like, just made me laugh like no one else. I mean, now, obviously, I no longer think that because I've known him for 20 years and I'm weary. But in general, I do love how much we laugh.
One comedy that you and I both really love, and it stars an extremely funny mom, is Hacks.
Oh, I love Hacks.
Hacks stars Jean Smart as Deborah Vance, a tough and groundbreaking female comic on the verge of losing her Las Vegas residency.
Look, I have two buckets to fill. Families and idiots in their 20s. The families want to see singing and dancing, and the college kids want to spend a grand to watch a guy in a helmet hit play in an iPod.
You're forgetting about your third bucket. People from Florida. They love me.
Now, it would be impossible to watch Hacks and not immediately think of the legendary Joan Rivers. She died in 2014, but she was and is one of the most hilarious and influential comedians, period. The creators of Hacks have even said that Deborah is an amalgamation of a number of famous female comedians, but Joan was absolutely one of them. And there are so many similarities between Deborah and Joan Rivers. I mean, they're both like kind of ruthless, snarky. They both have QVC lines galore. So many similarities. I don't even think we'd have time to talk through them all.
But we do have the time to talk about Caitlin Olson, who plays the daughter on Hacks. Her name is Deborah Vance Jr., which I love, but she goes by DJ.
Oh, I love that.
Their relationship is strained at best, but mostly it's like downright hostile. There's a scene in the first episode where she has to show the inside of her purse before she can leave the house. And she's like an adult woman.
Exactly.
Mom, they're being insane. They're not letting me leave.
Sorry, apparently she won't let Josefina see.
Oh my God, there's nothing in here.
Give.
And it's clear that DJ thinks that Deborah prioritized her career over being a parent. She felt neglected and she's become a stunted adult.
Yeah, that's how I'd say it. Now, this mother-daughter relationship, it is a departure from Joan Rivers because she and her daughter Melissa were incredibly close. They worked together for many years on red carpets, on Fashion Police. They did Celebrity Apprentice together. And they had a later reality show called Joan and Melissa, Joan Knows Best.
You have a brand and an image.
Melissa, I decide my image. Come on. I created Joan Rivers. Joan Rivers created Joan Rivers.
You and Dr. Schwartzbaum.
Dr. Schwartzbaum, of course, is Joan's plastic surgeon. But Joan and Melissa were hilarious together and clearly had a very loving relationship. Joan was very close to Melissa's son, Cooper, and it felt real and relatable to us because they were so honest about all the struggles they were going through, particularly with one another.
Yeah. And they, look, they went through some very hard times. Joan's husband and Melissa's father, Edgar, died by suicide when Melissa was 19. That obviously devastated them. And Joan said that she was left $37 million in debt. And Melissa was angry at her mother and kind of blamed her for separating from her father before he died. So that caused a rift for a number of years. But still, the two of them found their way back together. And I think humor is a really big part of that.
I'm Andy Mitchell.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg. From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, this is Pop Culture Moms. Melissa Rivers is the host of the weekly podcast, Melissa Rivers Group Chat. She's also a New York Times bestselling author of several books, including The Book of Joan, and most recently, Lies My Mother Told Me, Tall Tales from a Short Woman. We watched her for years on red carpets with her mother, and somehow we've roped her into coming on our podcast today. She'll tell us all about her funny mom, how she became a funny mom in her own right, and so much more.
Our interview with Melissa Rivers after the break.
There are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. From hilarious to heartfelt, tear-jerking to plot-twisting, her retelling of the events always brings me joy. And just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom for years to come. Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. Questions are like, what is one concrete thing that existed when you were young and doesn't exist anymore that you really miss? Or, what is your earliest memory? Or, what's the best single piece of advice anyone ever gave you? These are things I want answers to. Storyworth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it does not matter. You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories that you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before. And after that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come. You can even keep a copy of the book for yourself. I'm planning to do that. I'm going to gift this to my mom, and then it can be the most meaningful coffee table book that I have. Families love Storyworth. That's why it has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over 10 years ago. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/PCM. That's storyworth.com/PCM to save $10 on your first purchase.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hi, Melissa. It is unbelievably exciting for us to be talking to you today.
Yes.
I mean, quite honestly, this is starstruck.
Well, wait, then you have a very low bar.
No, no.
Very low.
You know what? The
bar.
Humor's starting. Listen, you've been on my television, you've been on my red carpets. You and your mother, Joan, have really occupied such a important part of our lives for so many years that it is really a thrill to have you here and just to talk about all that you are and all that your mother was. And I guess I want to start with, I'm wondering, who do you think made your mom laugh the hardest?
She said I made her laugh.
That had to feel good. Because would she blow smoke up your butt? Like she would tell you if you weren't right.
You know, what people don't know about her, which I do talk about, is she had a very silly sense of humor.
Yeah.
I hate to use the word sophomoric, but it was extremely sophomoric. And she loved, obviously, intelligent humor and this and that and the other. But her real-life humor was, you know, okay, for example, she and her best friend used to walk down the street in New York and be at a corner, and there would be some stranger standing there, and they would say to the person, "Excuse me, we have a question for you." And they feel like, yes, they go, "Which one of us is prettier?" Two old Jewish women.
I love this so much.
You know what I mean? That was like the shit that would just make her giggle.
Yeah. Just hit her funny. But I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, she was so insightful and she made everything funny with a unique take on it. But life wasn't always all laughs for you guys. You went through such trying times together as, you know, mother and daughter with your father's death. You know, how did you guys get through that and become closer?
Well, and again, my father, too, our family always had gallows humor. Always. And that has always saved us. Even in the worst of times, like after my father's suicide and my mom and I really were not speaking, the way back for us was always through humor.
Yeah.
You know, one of the stories my mom has told, which is, so my dad, we go through everything with my dad in the beginning of August, and I have to go back to college, and I was living off campus, and my mom walked into the house that my friends and I were living in, and without missing a beat, looked around and said, "Thank God your father's dead rather than seeing you live like this." You know, my father's suicide was like a whole big thing.
Of course. Yeah.
So my mother passes away and we're all in the hospital and everyone leaves me alone for a minute just to be by myself. And I start laughing and I hear this kind of like little bit of a gasp behind me. And I didn't realize one of the nurses had come in and she's like, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah, I was just thinking about the fact that my father is having a really bad day."
Okay.
And that's how we deal and always have dealt with everything.
Right. I mean, that humor is bonding. A shared sense of humor is like a layer of intimacy. I think sometimes humor can be, I don't know, like relegated as like frivolous or, you know, just like an additive, like unnecessary. But it's like it's the lens with which you go through the world. And I think that is huge to be able to laugh at yourself, laugh at your circumstances, to make satire of what's happening in the world.
My mother always said, "You can't hate someone that you laugh with." You can dislike them.
That's true.
You can disagree with them.
Mm.
You can despise their politics. But it's really hard to hate someone who makes you laugh.
It's very true.
But I'll give you another story. So my mother and I had this huge fight, like a knockdown drag out, where it was about respecting that I had boundaries and you can't talk to me like that. And I said to her, if you talk to anyone else the way you talk to me, you would have no friends. And she had flew in from New York that morning and she was in my kitchen in the refrigerator eating out of it. And she turned, she goes, you know, I was thinking a lot about what you said about boundaries. And without missing a beat, she goes, I acknowledge that you have boundaries. I just choose not to respect them.
That's just a mom, you know?
Such a mom.
How did I stay mad? I was just like,
I know.
Okay, at least we know what we're dealing with.
You know, your mom was so funny, but was there ever a time where she just like mortified you? Or I'm sure there was, right? That's all moms.
Was there a time where she didn't mortify?
Yeah, it's a much shorter list. My parents used to love to embarrass me and would actively do things. And once I was an adult and we were working together, I would catch her saying to someone, watch, this is going to really upset her. And then do or say something that she knew was going to set me off. Or she's like, watch, I'll get her going. And then she would just start laughing. I'm like, that is so mean. Oh, God, they used to love to embarrass me.
So you've described your mom as a quote-unquote embellisher. So she wasn't like a pathological liar or anything like that, but she would fudge the details in a story, like to make it funnier, or she'd make something up to win an argument, things that are mostly harmless. And I really can relate to that in the sense that my mom is a full-on codependent people pleaser. And so she'll lie to me about things like how much something costs if she doesn't want to upset you and you'll think it's too much. Or she'll lie about what time she's going to arrive. She's chronically late. She makes a lot of promises that she hopes she can fulfill and ultimately, you know, is in an impossible bind and can't. And you just wish you knew from the start that she couldn't make it or she couldn't commit to it. And I've noticed that, like, it can feel sort of like I can't feel confident in taking people at their word always. And that there's like, there is something to that struggling to fully trust your parent when they say what they say and that you can believe them. Like, did you ever feel like your mom's embellishments, other than being like funny and mostly harmless, that they affected you at all or your belief system or your trust of others?
I don't think it affected my trust of others. However, there were some family stories that I had grown up believing were true and were not necessarily accurate that came back to affect me later, specifically when I was pregnant.
Because
my mother was like, I worked my whole pregnancy, so I'm bound and determined. My mother went into labor on stage. So I was working. And then she would get so mad, like, why are you working? I'm like, because that's what you did. And she said, yeah, I worked at night, but I slept all day. I would get up and do my show. So it's like I've been living with this crazy myth. And then I was very anxious, as we all are, about giving birth, and I knew I wanted drugs. And my mom kept saying, oh, please, Melissa, it's so easy. They gave me one shot of painkiller, and I was fine. And I'm like, okay. And then when I pressed her a little bit, it turned out it was Demerol IV. She's like, what are you talking about? It was one shot. I'm like, Mom, they could do open heart surgery on you awake with IV Demerol.
Yeah, it sounds like she might have been in a coma. Like, I don't know.
That was her joke. She's like, yeah, it was all easy. It was good. It was easy.
I was barely there.
And she said I was barely there. She'd say I was... I'm like, okay, those are details that literally affected my life.
My sense of self and toughness.
Yeah, yeah. And what the standards are and what I have to live up to. So, you know, minor things like that did irreparable psychological harm.
You know, I love in the book of Joan that I just read of yours, one thing I really took with me after reading it was that your mom and your dad were always very good at showing up for you. So to sports, school assemblies, whatever. You said that, like, they were both very aware that, yes, quality time matters, but quantity time does too. And yes. I think the joke that she would say was like, Melissa, I'm here. I have my sunglasses on. I'm asleep behind them. But
but I'm here. And I think that's like such a thing I've realized since becoming a parent, that like there's a simplicity to just your presence and being around that is really like nourishing to our kids. We don't have to be playing or, you know, doing make-believe. It is enough sometimes, just proximity.
And they remember that you're there. You know, but my parents also made a point of they wanted, again, quantity with quality. Unless there was a specific project that they were working on where they were like given offices, they turned our garage into offices. And so they literally, before people worked from home. And then at 6 o'clock every night, the phones were turned off and it was family. So I think work was such a part of our day-to-day life that I don't wish I looked at it differently. You know, I think also with Cooper, she stopped working so much. That was the real shift. And as she used to say, it's so much more fun being a grandparent. The way I say, and the old joke is, do you know why grandparents and grandkids get along so well?
Why?
Common enemy.
I like that. I haven't heard it, but it's perfect.
So true.
I love that. What did you love about her as a grandmother? What are some things you loved about watching her with Cooper?
Just how close they were. Now, granted, you know, we were doing the reality show and Fashion Police, so she literally was in our house at least once a week. So she was such a part of the fabric of his life. That I remember one time she was like, I can't believe he's not paying attention to me and he's being rude. And I said to her, I go, him not paying attention to you is the biggest compliment you can get. Because you coming here is not a big deal to him. It's normal. And then she's like, you're right. I'm like, yeah.
You know, I have to tell you, I have a 2-year-old Cooper. So
such a good name.
Such a good name.
You know why? Because everybody likes Cooper. Coop's your buddy. Coop's your pal. Coop's good at sports. Everybody wants to have Cooper at the... You can count on Coop.
Yeah. Coop's
He's
fun.
A dude. Yeah. Cooper's a dude.
Yeah. It's exciting.
It's the best name.
What's one thing about your mother's parenting that you used in your parenting? And what's one thing that maybe you think you've tried to leave behind?
I think we all look back on our childhoods and try and take the best and jettison the worst. And I mean, that's how I was as a parent. And I think that's what I've done. You know, I wish my parents had nurtured my athletics more because there were things that were very important to me and so not important to them. So I made sure with Cooper being, you know, was a gifted athlete from the beginning, that I nurtured that and supported that and was very much a part of it. And, you know, Cooper plays college lacrosse. And if I am not at a game without fail, he will call me immediately after so we can break down the game to this day.
So nice.
Oh, I mean, really, that's a testament to how close of a bond you both have.
Yeah, don't tell him I said that because then he'll stop doing it.
That's a good point. We're going to keep that. We'll keep that from him.
You know, what's terribly troubling to me was one time my mom looked at me and she goes, God, you're so much of a better parent than I was. And I'm like, that's a compliment. Thank you. But I don't think it's a good thing to be saying to me. I think that's one of those thoughts that you should have kept to yourself. Yeah. How about just stop with you're a really good parent and leave out the so much better than I was.
Right.
I'm like, I got to have to talk to the therapist about that one. So I think, you know, I think we all as parents give what we wish we had gotten.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think we're like, you know, it sounds sometimes a little woo-woo, but like that we kind of reparent ourselves when we become parents. And I think there's a lot of growth that happens once you have kids and you have that perspective.
100%. And you also understand so much more, and especially as an adult, in my adult relationship with my mother, I see things now that at the time hurt her. And that I didn't understand or thought it was stupid or ridiculous. And then your child does them and you look back and you're like, oh my God, now I know how my parent felt. you suddenly just go, God, you know, I was really stupid. And you realize, you know, I find that I have more, and I hate the word regrets, but I guess regrets about my behavior and things that I did that from my perspective were fine at the time. And then when you're literally on the other side, you're like, oh, and that's where I find it fascinating. And I also find, I'm sure you have, you saying things that used to come out of your parents. And if you had that moment where you're absolutely horrified when you say it, you're like, oh my God, I sound like them. And you look at your child and go, I am so sorry for what's going to happen to you because I know.
More Pop Culture Moms after this quick break.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I think that every girl especially has gotten dressed and had their mom say, like, what are you wearing? Now, you had the queen of the fashion police. What was it like in high school and college? Like, when you were putting out on an outfit, was your mom holding back or was she being like, oh, no, you can't wear that?
Well, I don't think she held back, but she also wouldn't, like, hurt me.
Yeah.
And make me self-conscious. The difference was, my mother always wished I dressed more provocatively.
You never hear that.
I know. Not obviously in high school, but as an adult. And she used to say to me, show it now while you've got it. Show it now while you've got it. And now suddenly I'm like, crap, she was right. Yeah,
she knew.
I should have worn a crop shirt because I can't do it now. But that was always one of our biggest fights. She's like, the slit needs to be on the skirt needs to be 3 inches higher. And I'm like, Mom, I'm like, it already feels like, you know, if I can't wear underwear, that's fine, you know. But that was her whole thing, was she always thought I almost dressed too conservatively.
That's so funny. You know, she was very open about this. It's not a secret that she was like always unhappy with the way that she looked, and it kind of fed this feeling of being less than, right? And I think she said, like, that Cooper used to call her Nana Newface, which is hilarious. But I wonder, I mean, do you absorb your mother's feelings about herself and like internalize them?
100%. It has caused, and not intentionally, a lot of problems for me. I look at myself and I go, oh, I'm disgusting. Oh, I'm fat. Oh, I'm not pretty. I don't like how I look. And I look in the mirror and I go, you know, every day. And unfortunately, that is not the good part of the legacy.
Yeah. And she wouldn't have wanted you to have that either.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Like, she probably, as we know as mothers, she probably thought you are the most beautiful person in the world.
Oh, no. She was always like, we need to, you know, we need to deal with this or we need to deal with that. But in a very yes. gentle way.
Yeah, yeah,
she was also very honest. But has that caused a lot of unhappiness in my life? Yes. And that is not good. You know, but I think my mother's first generation, both of her parents were Russian immigrants, and my dad's ran from the Holocaust. And so I'm first generation on my dad's side. And then you bring in two people with that immigrant mentality of fear, and it becomes a difficult dynamic as a child to figure out how to negotiate life without letting that kind of fear of loss consume you.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You know, I always think it's part of the next generation's job is to deal with these things and not pass that on to their children. So I actively do not say things like if I'm having anxiety about something or a deal or money or whatever, I actively do not dump it on Cooper until I can do something which just makes him aware, but he doesn't need to see me, you know, freaking out.
Right. Because it feels bigger to him, I'm sure. Like, you know, even if you can handle it, it's...
Right. So it's always a matter of my job is to try not to pass those things on. And especially I'm first generation on a man that had to run from the Nazis. And my mother's parents, you know, it's all about that immigrant mentality and this huge push always for education because that's something they can't take away from you. And I've tried to sort of change that into less of a fear and more of being motivated.
Mm, yeah. You know, in recent years, there have been shows like Hacks or The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. They kind of focus on trailblazing female comedians, but really, I mean, it's hard not to think of your mom when you see those shows. So what do you think she would have thought of them? What do you think of them?
I love Hacks. I love Jean Smart. And they were very open about, this is based on a lot of different women, but let's call it what it is. This was the germ of the idea. It's not who she was. It's not a true story. It's not a, but obviously the inspiration, and they never backed away from that.
Do you think your mom would have gotten a kick out of Hacks?
I don't think they could have made Hacks if she was alive.
Well, yeah, I guess. I guess
they would have had to hire her.
Yeah.
And it would have been like, yeah, a biopic.
And if they did, I don't know if she wouldn't. She was such a Jean Smart fan. That I think that would have been complicated for her. I mean, there were these certain actresses my mother just thought were such brilliant comedians. And it was Jean and Christine Baranski and Stockard Channing. And she loved them all as dramatic actresses as well. But it was one of those things, you know, she would watch Jean Smart walk across the street. You know what I mean? Because she had that reverence for their talent.
Did she like to watch comedy or, you know, sometimes like comedians will say they can't really, they're too inside baseball. Like they know how the sausage is made, let's say it that way, that they can't really watch comedy because it just feels too much of the world they're already immersed in. So did she like to watch?
Oh, loved it. Loved it. I mean, I remember going into my parents' bedroom as a little kid and then watching Fawlty Towers.
Oh, I
love and rolling. Oh. So, I mean, that was, she loved watching comedy.
We'll wrap it up. We'll let you go. But I'm wondering, what do you think your mother's legacy is?
Making people laugh. Mm. People who knew her, obviously, she was so incredibly kind and generous. And it was really a life well lived. And I think that's the best legacy you can have.
I mean, that is her legacy, and it's so wonderful. But I think another part that I really love about her legacy is you and your relationship. You two have such a well-known and loving mother-daughter relationship, which you don't really see as much. Like, a lot of times in pop culture, the moms and the daughters aren't getting along. So it's so nice that you were able to work together and be together for as much as you are.
I think part of that and the relatability is also we didn't hide when we weren't getting along. There wasn't this fake, oh, look at us, da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. You know, we were both always very open about there's been plenty of times that we haven't gotten along.
Sure.
I mean, we had fights and just like everybody, I think the difference is we weren't scared to talk about it and showed you could always come back.
It's so nice. Gorgeous. Thank you so much for being with
Thank
us.
And you. I wish you both good luck raising boys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Melissa. This episode touched on the difficult subject of self-harm. If you are struggling with thoughts of suicide or worried about a friend or loved one, call or text the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline at 988 for free confidential emotional support 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
God, I thought that was so funny. She had me laughing a million times.
I know.
Especially the bit. This is something I'm going to take with me. Why do grandparents and grandchildren get along so well?
because they have a common
enemy. Common enemy, yeah.
It's so, I mean, do you feel that at your house? Between yes. your mom and your children? I do.
Yeah, I'm public enemy number one here.
That's right, that's right.
I'm Sabrina Kohlberg.
And I'm Andy Mitchell. Next week on Pop Culture Moms, we're talking to, I mean, my personal hero, Allison Rosen, former news girl and host of the amazing podcast, Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend. I can't wait.
Pop Culture Moms is a production of ABC Audio in partnership with Good Morning America, hosted by me, Sabrina Kohlberg.
And me, Andy Mitchell. Our show is produced by Camille Peterson, Asala Sonipour, Sabrina Kohlberg, and me.
Music by Evan Viola.
Special thanks to Emily Schutz, Susie Liu, Josh Cohan, Ariel Chester, Liz Alessi, and Simone Swink, the executive producer of GMA.
Laura Mayer is the executive producer of podcasts for ABC Audio.
25 years ago, Carrie Bradshaw started posing a slew of honest, provocative, relatable questions in her fictional column, Sex and the City. And just like her, the singles and hopeless romantics of New York still want to know, can you change a man? What constitutes cheating? And can you be friends with your ex? I'm Tara Llewellyn. You may know me from Gilmore to Say, a Gilmore Girls podcast. Join me as I revisit this beloved series with some of my favorite New Yorkers and closest friends as we bring Carrie's column to life and answer her questions from each episode of Sex and the City in my new weekly podcast, And Just Like Her.